Voters in Vigo County will decide Tuesday if local schools should receive more money to upgrade facilities. Plus, several other counties in the area will nominate candidates who could become your elected officials next year. On this weekend's Focus on the Community, we will shine a spotlight on the Vigo County school referendum and which races are competitive in Tuesday's primary election. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center. My special guest today is News 10 reporter John Swanner from WTHI-TV. And, John, good morning. Welcome back to Focus on the Community.
Thank you, Dave. How are you doing today?
Well, not bad. I think we're all ready to get this primary election under our belt.
Yes, sir.
You know, it just seems a bit lackluster, except probably for the Vigo County referendum. There's just not a lot of action out there when it comes to many races in the region.
That's true, and I think the referendum's making up for it because there's just so much interest in it over in Vigo.
Well, we're definitely going to dive into that in just a moment, but I kind of want to follow the order of the ballot to make it easier for listeners to understand once they do go to the polls on Tuesday, if they haven't already done an early vote, what they can expect on the ballot, depending if they pull a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot. As you know, you can't just, you know, pick what your favorite candidate might be.
Right.
You've got to pick the ballot first, which a lot of states are that way, but some are not. But we'll start at U.S. Representative for District 8. Larry Bouchon, of course, is the incumbent. And finally, the congressman doesn't have a primary opponent. He seems like he's always had to fend off a Republican, even in his own primary. But that's not the case this year.
No, he's got an easy road, at least until November.
That's true. So the Democratic candidates are Adam Denaire of Shoals, Ray McCormick of Vincennes, and Peter Priest II of Terre Haute. I don't know Denaire or Priest. I do know Ray McCormick. He seems to be the most serious candidate of the three. Have you seen the other two out and about?
No, we have not. It's not heard a whole lot about this race, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's pretty low key, but I think McCormick should pull it out. But sometimes you get a break on ballot placement if nobody knows the candidates. But I think McCormick will get the edge, but we'll see how that plays out. And, of course, whoever wins the Democratic primary would take on Congressman Bouchon in the fall, which is still a pretty tough district. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, they called it the Bloody Eight, and I gave it a good shot in 2012, but I still got beat by 10 points when I ran as the Democratic nominee. So I don't know. I think Bouchon will be tough to beat no matter who wins that primary race on the Democratic side.
Yeah, the only way he loses is if he doesn't run.
Well, that's the good point. And you know, if that race is even close, then it won't be a Republican sweep like a lot of people are speculating, I guess, too.
Right.
So, because the 8th has definitely drifted very Republican over the past several years. Mm-hmm. So, again, not a big congressional race going on, but, again, the Democrats still need to figure out who the nominee will be, and I think that leans McCormick. We'll see what happens. Only a couple of state legislative races in our region in the primary, and the one that's gotten a lot of interest, and we've seen the TV commercials, and there's a lot of direct mail floating around, District 45, Bruce Borders of Jacksonville, the incumbent. Many people remember him as the former mayor of Jacksonville, and he's been a longtime Elvis Presley impersonator.
Yes, he is.
He does a pretty good job with that
routine.
He does
a great job with it, yeah.
But here's a race where Jeff Ellington is a Republican colleague of his, and apparently he didn't like his newly drawn district that was based in Bloomington. So Ellington thinks he has a better chance of winning in 45 versus the district he had in Monroe County.
Yeah.
So he basically has a building that's some kind of a warehouse in Bloomfield that he moved his living address to, but it doesn't look quite livable.
Right. Bruce takes exception to that in the ads, and we've been seeing a lot of the ads during our morning show, and it's basically the same one or two ads from Bruce and his campaign. He's got a point. I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see what viewers think of all this.
Well, and they're hitting each other very hard, especially whether it's on air or in the mail. Mm-hmm. But Bruce apparently hired a private investigator, and the goal was to see if Ellington was really living in this warehouse that he owns, apparently in Bloomfield. And apparently the investigator, when he took pictures to see if anyone was living there, they looked close at the vehicles that were parked there owned by Ellington with state representative plates, and apparently they were expired tags.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it gave Borders an extra issue to campaign on.
I did see
on.
That ad, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, one of the ads talk about how Ellington voted for an excise tax increase, I think it was, but yet doesn't pay his excise tax on his plates.
Right. There's also a question of what year the vehicle registration was and so
forth.
This has been an entertaining and very dirty race.
Well, I got a phone call yesterday that down in Linton, there's some kind of a construction project in the heart of downtown Linton, and Ellington has hired people to hold a bunch of sandwich board signs claiming that Bruce Borders voted against this project. And apparently that's kind of shining right in downtown Linton, where this district, of course, weaves through Greene County.
And a lot of voters in Linton. So.
Indeed. So that'll be the one to watch on election night. Bruce Borders of Jasonville, can he hold on to that seat, or can Jeff Ellington swoop in there and take it away from him? Ellington has a pretty expensive home in Bloomington in his old district. So there's a lot of controversy whether he really lives in District 45. But,
right.
Of course, you could say the same thing about the congressman. He's pretty much moved to D.C., and his P.O. box now is Newburgh versus the house he used to own, I'm told. So
Right.
Let's move up the west central part of Indiana, where District 23 in the state Senate, Phil Boots is retiring. And Phil, I think, owns some convenience stores, perhaps, and it has kind of that background. But he's giving up that seat. And we have four Republicans on the primary ballot: Christian Beaver of West Lafayette, Paula Copenhaver of Covington, Spencer Deary of West Lafayette, and Bill Webster of Rockville, who happens to be the Park County Republican chair. I was the moderator of a Meet the Candidate event a few weeks ago up in Rockville, and all four of the candidates did show up, and they got some stage time to talk about why they should be elected. It seemed fairly even to me. I don't have a real feel of who's going to win that, although Deary apparently works with Mitch Daniels up at Purdue, and I think he's been endorsed by the former governor, so that could help him. But that race seems to be so quiet. Maybe it's in a direct mail race. I don't know.
Well, it's going to be hard to call because it's so big. The district's big.
Yeah.
And you've got it spans from Clinton all the way up to Lafayette.
Right.
And it's just hard to see those two voters having the same concerns, you know, someone from Clinton versus someone from West Lafayette. It's going to be, you know, like you said on these earlier races, who's going to get the turnout? And then you've got, you know, the West Lafayette votes maybe vote or divided between these two candidates from West Lafayette. I don't know. It's going to be really weird.
I don't know either. We'll keep an eye on that and see what happens on Tuesday. But, you know, could be any one of those four Republican candidates. And I think whoever wins that primary is most likely going to be the new senator. I don't think a Democrat can win that in the fall because it's such a Republican-leaning district, but we'll see.
Yes.
And I can't even tell you who the Democrat is at this point that's running. I assume there's one, or they might have to slate one or put one in a caucus, of course.
Right.
Let's talk about the hottest issue in the region, Vigo County, the school referendum.
Yes, sir.
So articulate, in your opinion, you know, what's going on with this and where we're at, John.
Okay, well, the three major high schools in Vigo County, we're talking about Terre Haute North, Terre Haute South, and West Vigo, they are in bad, bad shape. In fact, I spent a lot of time in South 2 weeks ago with a student, and the condition of the building is deplorable.
Did you have cameras with you when you did that?
I did, yeah. We aired the story last night, in fact.
Okay.
It's on our website. I had a student tour guide, a South senior, and she was wonderful, and she was very good about pointing out the various issues in the building. And really, my tape time was 3 minutes, which is very long for a TV news story.
Sure.
And we just scratched the surface on the issues in South by itself. I mean, and I think even people that are against the referendum will acknowledge that the building has problems. The issue is how to fund the repairs. I think it dates back to the 2019 referendum that was passed by Vigo County voters. And keep in mind, that one only passed 54-46. And that one was the teacher raises. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, we've got money in the budget. We should be able to handle these repairs within the budget. And they're just not wanting to see taxes go up again. They've given them one set of money. And there's also some trust issues. The administration, even though they've worked very hard to get the word out about this, there's still some hangover effect from the previous administration with voters that they just don't have a whole lot of trust in the Vigo County School Corporation right now. And whether that's founded or unfounded is for people to decide for themselves, but that's kind of what's surrounding it. But anyway, the referendum is, will you pay roughly, depending on the value of your home, $7 to $14 extra in property taxes per month to fund $261 million, which would be put towards renovating the three high schools, plus building a brand new West Vigo Middle School. And so that's the issue here, and it basically boils down to whether you want to see these buildings repaired in this way versus trying to patchwork it out of the budget.
And when you mentioned the problems at South, and I'm sure North has similar issues in West Vigo as well, but who in the early 70s thought it was a good idea to have like these local buildings with flat roofs? I mean,
been a huge issue.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dumb thing that we've now learned that it's not a good idea to have flat roofs because they wear out and, you know, you need those slopes to get rid of the water. But yet so many buildings were built with flat roofs at the time, I guess, to save money. But yet they don't hold up long term.
No, they don't. And that's been a major issue with a lot of people. And you can see the damaged ceiling tiles, the drop ceiling tiles in South. There's several of them throughout the building. There's several trash cans strategically placed throughout the building catching water from these leaks. And they're everywhere. And it's not to say that people aren't fixing these leaks. They are. It's just that, and it's kind of like the restroom situation. You fix one restroom, another one breaks. You know, and that's the same with the roof leaks. It's they have a hard time keeping up with these leaks, and you know, you've got broken glass in windows. It's just been, and also HVAC issues. If you have a classroom with a window, now that seemingly seems to be a good thing. You know, you got some natural light, and you know, just to be able to see the outdoors is nice. But those rooms pay a price, and that is they're very hot, even this time of year. When I went to South, I went to a math class. One of my former neighbors, in fact, has a math class that she teaches there. Mrs. Patterson, and her room has windows. Her room went up 8 degrees in 1 hour, class period. 8 degrees. And it was 77 when I left. So in the afternoon classes, they're dealing with mid-80s, mid to upper 80s.
It's going to be an interesting situation to watch on Tuesday night. It's all about turnout. I mean,
yes, indeed. Absolutely.
A lot of people sometimes skip voting in a primary. And if you've got decent turnout, a referendum like this, you know, could definitely go either way, depending on what motivates the voters. And you've had the Vote Yes campaign, which they've been very active on TV and on my radio stations here. They've obviously pointed out that this is long overdue and needs to happen.
Right.
Then you've got a PAC that was recently created by Steve Ellis, who owns Top Guns. And he created a PAC called Do the Math PAC. And he went after him, claiming that the school corporation is not spending the current budget wisely. And that if you want to stop this additional tax increase, you got to vote no on Tuesday. And that seems to have gotten a lot of feedback and a lot of people talking.
There's a lot of headway with that group. And it like you said, it's just going to come down to how many people get out and vote. And in terms of whether the primary is going to be heavily attended or not, there's not a whole lot of contested races to really attract voters to the polls. You would think that if there were a lot of contested races in the primary, especially the Democratic primary, I mean, let's be honest, that would help the cause of getting this referendum passed.
Indeed, because I think it's pretty clear that if you would look at the party makeup, Democrats tend to be a little more progressive toward things like a new school building or additional money to help fund schools. So if there's strong Democratic turnout, that probably helps the referendum from the yes standpoint.
Sure.
But if there's very high Republican turnout, they tend to be more anti at this point. And I think what's also hurting the yes campaign, people are just fed up with high prices and $4 gas. And to have someone say that, well, your taxes are going to go up right now, the timing of that when things are just kind of off the charts getting after the pandemics and so forth. I think that makes it tougher.
Sure. And then you add in inflation, and it's just not a good time to be asking for $261 million. But who could have predicted all these problems when they started talking about this?
Now, the Vigo County School Corporation took action earlier this week to remove the tax increase that was passed in 2019. Only if this referendum passes. Could you kind of explain that a little bit more?
So basically, that referendum would end 3 years early in, I believe, 24. They would end that referendum in 24 and then start the new one in 25. So the that drops the tax increase a little bit. We'll see if it's enough to get the voters to come to the polls, but it would drop it a little bit. And they have other funds, COVID-19 funds from the Biden administration to help cover the teacher raises and so forth that they were using that referendum to fund.
Declining enrollment has been a factor for
Absolutely.
Several years in Vigo County. Of course, the state pays what they call an ADM per student. It's somewhere north of $6,000, I think, per student. Mm-hmm. But those funds don't really go to new projects. That's more of an operational kind of fund from the state.
Yeah.
Property taxes definitely fund expansions or new buildings. And in this case, if you wonder, you know, we didn't have to do this 40, 50 years ago. This came from the Mitch Daniels campaign of, like, mm-hmm. capping property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
He capped them at 1% with the Republican legislature for homes, 2% for, like, farms,
mm-hmm. and right.
3% for business. So obviously, if you own farms or businesses, it's more than $7 or $14 a month that you're going to be hit with this referendum if passes.
And the farmers are definitely against it. There's no doubt about it. The Indiana Farm Bureau has been very active in campaigning against this. In fact, I got a mailer to my home from the Indiana Farm Bureau.
You did? Okay.
I did, yes. We're Farm Bureau customers from the insurance side, so I found it very interesting that they went ahead and sent that mailer. But I'm not the only one. There were several people that received that mailer. They're very, very vocal and active against it.
Well, again, turnout's the key.
Yes,
so
sir.
If you feel strongly about seeing the schools upgraded in Vigo County, you need to go vote Tuesday and vote yes. If you're against any kind of a tax increase and you feel like there should be a timeout and you want to stop this, you go vote no.
That's right. And in fact, early voting is well underway. They've got polling places all over Vigo County that are open. There's going to be, depending on when you hear this, there'll be Saturday hours at the annex and at the mall. And then they'll also have hours on Monday leading into the big day of Tuesday. And there's going to be polling places all over the county. And we've got those listed on our website. The county clerk's got them listed on theirs. There's just plenty of opportunities to vote. And all you need to do is remember your ID. And the good thing about Vigo County is that it doesn't matter where you live. You can vote anywhere. You can live in Fontanette and vote in Prairie Creek.
Okay.
It's as long as you're a Vigo County resident, you can vote anywhere you want.
That early voting will end Monday at noon. If you don't
Correct.
Vote early by then you can vote from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Tuesday night or
That's
Tuesday
right.
afternoon.
That's
so,
right.
All right. So enough on the school referendum. Let's dive into some of these races in the remaining time that
sure.
we have. In Vigo County, there seems to be a race for Vigo County Council District 1. The three candidates include Eric Beverly, Jeffrey Fisher, who I think is what, the former fire chief in Terre Haute?
Yes, yes.
And Ed Ping, I think I've heard that name before.
He's a former county council person.
Okay, mm-hmm. So any feeling on how that race is going to go?
Not a lot of movement on this one again. And the thing of it is, you would think Jeff Fisher would have the inside track on that, but he's run before and has lost. Ed Ping, well known in the community, has a lot of friends in the local labor industry because he was involved with local unions for many, many years. Eric Beverly, kind of the new, he's an African American man and he's a good guy. He'll certainly bring some voters to the poll from that demographic. It'll just be interesting, again, who comes out and votes. I don't have a feel on who's going to win that one.
And again, that's on the Democratic ballot. There's
mm-hmm.
also a couple of competitors on the County Council District 3 race in Vigo County. Vicki Wegger is the incumbent, and
mm-hmm.
she's got a challenge from David Hoopengarner.
Vicki should be okay there.
You think so?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so, yeah.
All right. And by the way, I went past the Vigo County Superior Court Judge race number 1.
Yes, that's a big race.
There are three candidates, Noah Lincoln Gamble, mm-hmm. John Nichols, and Jason Saunders. I've heard both Saunders and Gamble on the air. I haven't mm-hmm. seen Nichols yet, but you got a feel for that race at all?
Well, John's got some television ads going
okay.
on our station, so he's definitely spending some money. And, you know, he's got a lot of support from the old guard Vigo Countyans, if you will. But, you know, Noah Gamble, he's the son of Chris and Bianca Gamble. He's well-known in his own right. He's a lawyer. He's been working there for years and years. He's well-liked and respected. Then you've got Jason Saunders. He may not be from Vigo County, but he's well-known, especially in that courthouse. He's been the chief deputy, but he's been a deputy prosecutor for 15 years. That's going to be probably the most interesting of the local races that are not related to the referendum.
Well, if I was any of these candidates with opponents, I'd be spending the entire evenings and weekends calling as many friends and family saying, hey, I need you to go vote, because a few dozen votes may make a huge difference.
And it may decide this thing.
It may decide it, absolutely. Mm-hmm. On the Republican ballot in Vigo County, there's a commission District 1 race between Mark Klinkenbeard and Johnny Norton. And what's your feel for that one?
Well, I'm not familiar with Mr. Norton, but I do know Mark Klinkenbeard. He owns his own construction business, and he's been in business for many years in Vigo County. And he's also a very avid supporter, both in terms of being there in person and financially, of Indiana State Athletics. So he's a very well-known person in the community. And if he happens to win that primary, he sets up a very interesting battle for District 1 with Brendan Kearns, the incumbent, in November.
A couple of county council races on the Republican ticket in Vigo County, Ryan Cummings versus Ben Pence. We'll see how that one turns out.
Well, Mr. Cummins is definitely the one that's known in that race because he's a former city council member and very popular with Republicans. One of the few Republicans that was elected in that early era. So he's back in threw his hat back in the ring in this race. So it should be interesting. If he comes out on top there, then that also sets up an interesting battle in the fall.
County Council District 4, Travis Norris, Jason Walker are your two options there.
Yeah, so Norris was put in a caucus. So it'll be interesting if he hangs on to that nomination.
Well, we're not going to dive into trustee races, or we'd need another hour for this program.
Although there's money being spent on those races, amazingly, though.
Yeah,
it's really funny.
But
yeah,
if you live in a particular township, whether it's trustee or your local council boards, or be sure to look closely at the ballot there or do some research before this weekend. In Clay County, let's move over to County. County Auditor, you've got the Republican County Chair who's been in the County Auditor's office for years, Patricia Patty Fox, against Thad Scheidler, a farmer and businessman out of Clay City. I think Fox has the advantage there just because of her experience in that office and having all those connections amongst precinct people and things like that.
But that certainly helps.
But Scheidler's running an ad on one of my radio stations making fun of the fact that there's musical chairs going on in the courthouse. So,
oh my goodness.
But I don't think that message is going to sink through since he's only been on one station. We'll find out. But but that'll be an interesting race. The big race, it seems like, in Clay County is County Sheriff to replace Paul Harden. He's endorsed his chief deputy, Josh Clark. There's also William Billy Neville, Sam Sterley, and Bryson Swearingen, who was the deputy involved in the incident down in south of Clay City where he was shot when they were trying to serve some warrants last fall. You got an opinion on this race?
I do not, because, I mean, I'm not over here, but it's just interesting. You've got four really good candidates, and when you've got that, it's just a crapshoot.
Turnout's the key there.
Yeah.
Clark's been the most aggressive with his marketing, but again, turnout will make a difference there.
Absolutely.
And since we're getting close to the end of the program, I've got to fly through some of these different races. County Council District 3 in Clay County, Jason Thomas is being challenged by Marion Schaefer. I think Thomas has an advantage there. There are really no Democrats to vote for on countywide races in Clay County from a nomination standpoint. In Park County, the interesting race up there is probably for County Auditor. And you guys touched on this on your news coverage recently. There's apparently some errors and problems with people's paychecks who work for Park County.
Yes.
And there's been some heat put on the incumbent, Laura Jane Fisher. And Mary Ann Wood is her challenger, both on the Republican ticket. They were both no-shows at that Park County candidate forum.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Apparently Fisher didn't want to come, and then Wood was sick. So I didn't get a chance to ask them questions, but that could be an interesting race before it's over with.
That's exactly right, and that paycheck issue was huge.
In the circuit court race for clerk, Nicole Collings taking on Henry Harper. The sheriff's race in Park County to replace Sheriff Cole. You've got Jason Frazier, who Cole has endorsed, Robert Gregg, Dan Jones, and Randall Nealon. So we'll see how that comes out. They've all been fairly aggressive on that race, and we'll find out Tuesday night who's the winner there. Park County Council District 2, Rick Patton, the incumbent, he's being challenged by Austin Swaim. And there's also a town clerk treasurer's race in Rockville, Brandy Asher, the incumbent, being challenged by Norm Kammer. And then there's also four people running for town council, Sean Atkinson, Steve Farrington, Chris McCann and Park Swaim. Atkinson and Swaim are the incumbents, and you have to nominate two in that race. Again, nothing to vote for on the Democratic side in Park County. In Vermilion County, boy, not a lot of action up there. You've got the state Senate race that we touched on, but apparently County Council District 1, Republican ticket, Cole West versus Rick Weir, and that's pretty much the only option on the Republican ballot. On the Democratic ballot in Vermilion County, Mike Holtkamp versus Chad Hennis, and that's it.
That's it, yeah. That sheriff's race with Sheriff Phelps reaching his limit always brings out a lot of people to run.
And in Sullivan County, a county that used to be a dominant Democrat county, a lot like Vermilion, not much happening at all on the Democratic ballot. It's all on the Republican ballot. Sullivan County Accessory, Doug Bates versus Michelle Bedwell. Commission District Number 1, Bob Davis versus John Figg. In the County Council District 2 race, Jerry Payne versus Jeff Scales. Sullivan County Clerk, the incumbent Tanya Bedwell, challenged by Shelley Hyatt Paris. For recorder, Christy Knotts versus Delta Marie Mahiran. For sheriff, the battle to replace Clark Cottom. There are two Republicans, Randy Beller and Billy Sneed. And then for County Council District 3, Kurt Bedwell against Mitchell Free. So that's your choices on the Sullivan County Republican ballot. And again, nothing on the Democratic ballot that I found.
No, just not a whole lot of people running anymore.
No, and you know, with this toxic environment that we've witnessed nationally, that makes it tough. People don't want to get into this muddy mess anymore, and I can understand that.
Yeah.
But also the Democrat brand is kind of stained as people look at it nationally, and that seems to trickle down here locally.
That's right.
And that seems to have hurt Democrat interest too. But John, appreciate your input.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we'll remind listeners that on Tuesday night, Kevin Rader will join me on WAMB, AM 1130 and 106.9 in Brazil, 99.5 FM in Terre Haute, plus on the web at WAMBradio.com. We'll start coverage right after the CBS World News Roundup at 7 o'clock. Probably have continuous coverage from 7 until 9. I think most of the vote should be in by 9. Wouldn't you guess?
Be. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, John, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to talk a little politics, and we'll see how things turn out on Tuesday night.
That's right.
And you have a great weekend.
You too.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI, 7 a.m. on WAMB 1130, 106.9 and 99.5, Sundays at 6 a.m. on 105.5 WVIG, and 7 a.m. on Sundays on 92.7 WFMB. For a download of this show and other past programs, you can visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center, and thanks for listening.